This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we ask the vice president of a prominent local insurance business a question you should probably be asking yourself right now. If a catastrophic earthquake strikes here in Puget Sound, would insurance cover you for the loss of your home and everything you own? Let's go inside the Compass and find out. Ryan Smith is vice president of Homer Smith Insurance, a brokerage that has been doing business here in the Northeast Olympic Peninsula for 70 years. To borrow a slogan from one of their associates, they know a thing or two because they've seen a thing or two. When we asked him the following question, we were surprised by his answer, and we think you'll be surprised and perhaps alarmed, too. Of all of the various insurance coverages that you offer, today we're most interested in home and property insurance because KPTZ partners with the Jefferson County Emergency Operations Center in providing news coverage in the event of this catastrophic earthquake and or tsunami. Many homeowners just kind of automatically assume that their insurance will cover them if a quake flattens their home or a tsunami fills their house full of water. Are they wrong to assume that?
No homeowner's policy is going to cover earthquake, flood, or tsunami as a base policy. Certainly some homeowners' policies do offer earthquake endorsements, and then your flood and tsunami would come under a separate flood policy.
I've also heard that a typical insurance policy doesn't cover damage caused by acts of God. In the insurance world, what does the term acts of God mean?
An act of God would be something that occurs outside of human control and that isn't predictable. Now, certain acts of God would be covered, like wind damage, a fire, lightning strike.
Oh, so a lightning strike is an act of God, but if a lightning strike hits your house and causes damage, it is covered by most policies?
It would be covered by most standard homeowners' policies, yes.
Interesting. Are there special kinds of endorsements or add-ons that your clients can get to protect them from the quakes and floods and the things that are called acts of God?
Yeah, so like I said, some insurance companies do offer endorsements or add-ons to the homeowner's policy for earthquake. We can get standalone earthquake policies as well. We can also get standalone flood policies and a combination flood earthquake policy, which is considered a difference in conditions policy.
Now, you said some insurance companies, for the uninitiated, and I would include myself in this, Homer Smith Insurance, as a broker, is that what you would call yourselves?
Yes, we are an independent insurance agency, so we represent several different carriers.
So you write policies for these various other carriers.
You're
exactly. Basically just the middleman between the client and the insurance company.
Right.
Just out of curiosity, when you're consulting with the client and they're getting homeowners insurance, say it's a new home for them, mm-hmm. and they've never had a home before, so
sure.
They've never done the home insurance thing. Do you tell them, you know, we're in the Pacific Northwest, not all that far from the Cascadia Fault.
Right.
There could be a huge earthquake. There could be a tsunami. This is not covered in your insurance, but if you want coverage, here are some various things you can try. Is that part of your MO?
Yeah, that'd absolutely be something we're going to be discussing with a client to see if there may be an interest in that type of additional product that can be cost prohibitive to some people. So, you know, they've got to weigh the cost versus what the risk is.
So cost prohibitive, let's put it this way without putting numbers on it. If someone's in that scenario where they're buying their first house, they're getting insurance for the first time, do most of them look at the numbers and say, I'm not going to get earthquake insurance or flood insurance?
I would say most would look at the premium and say, you know, the risk is not worth paying what the premium is right now. When you start seeing the earthquake activity, you know, that's when we start seeing more calls with people wondering what it's going to cost.
Give us a little background. We know you're with Homer Smith Insurance, a local landmark business that has been operating here for almost 70 years. Who started that business? What's your connection? I guess because Smith is in your last name, you might be in the family. And also tell us what services your business offers.
Sure. So Homer Smith Insurance was started by my grandfather in Quilcene in 1950. He moved to Port Townsend in our location now around 1978. And my father, Homer III, has been running the business since, 99 or so. And we're about ready to transition into our third generation of operation, which is fantastic. We offer full service, personal, auto, home, and then your business and life insurance here in the local area.
Now, you have offices not just in Port Townsend, right?
No, we do have a secondary location in Sequim, so we do service the whole Olympic Peninsula and beyond that as well.
And what's your role with the business right now? You're a co-owner or CEO, or what is your...
Current title is a vice president. No ownership in the business yet. Something in the future, though.
Are you also working with clients and writing policies and things like that?
Absolutely.
Okay. So has anyone gone for these endorsements for earthquake coverage or these unusual acts of God kind of coverage of your clients?
Yeah,
so it does happen.
It does happen.
How rare is it?
I would say we're probably looking 15 to 20% of what we do.
Would those be the higher end homes or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. So it can be in any range of value.
Now you mentioned wind damage. Is that an act of God? And I think you said your policies do cover wind damage?
They do cover wind damage. Someone who may be from, say, hurricane country or tornado country may experience a higher wind deductible, or where we have to purchase earthquake insurance here. Maybe Florida, they had to purchase a wind-type policy. So it kind of varies depending upon region.
Talking about wind, one so-called act of God that we didn't mention was tornadoes, which, of course, everyone knows are common in Texas and Oklahoma, but nobody ever thinks about a tornado up here. However, those of you who were watching the news in December of 2018 may remember that a tornado caused severe structure damage in Port Orchard, which is just south of Bremerton. Do Washington State insurance companies, does Homer Smith Insurance, even offer coverage that would include tornado damage?
Yes, so the standard homeowners policies that we sell do cover the rare event of a tornado. We do classify a tornado as wind damage, so yes.
So it's not technically an act of God, is that correct?
I guess it doesn't matter. It would be considered wind damage.
Well, that's good to know.
It is good to know.
Yeah. We're talking with Ryan Smith, Vice President of Homer Smith Insurance. Wind, quakes, and floods might be called acts of God, but fire could be caused by human error, like the deadly brush fires in California that were caused by power lines or malicious arson, or even in the case of a fire caused by a lightning strike, that might be called an act of God. So what kinds of coverage do you offer that protects homeowners from all the potential causes of fire? Does it vary based on the cause?
So essentially all fire damage is going to be covered except for intentional arson acts.
Even if it's not, they didn't set it themselves, but say somebody set their house on fire as a malicious event, would that be covered?
That would be covered as long as the insured does not intentionally start a fire.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. In addition to offering insurance for cars, homes, business, and life, you have something called specialty insurance. What does that cover?
Specialty insurance really can be any niche market that maybe we ride in. So we're in a large wooden boat community. I would say, specialize in large charter vessels. Some you may see around town, some you may have seen in movies before.
So what does a specialty coverage cover?
There's no true specialty coverage. It's just a niche. If you're referring to our website, it's just a niche market that we may look to specialize in.
Okay, so it would be like marine vessels and stuff like that.
Marine contractors, that type of...
Now, this doesn't affect me because I'm not a mariner per se, but a lot of mariners are here listening to us right now. If you go out in your boat and you're fishing or pleasure, whatever, and it sinks for whatever reason, does that mean you would cover that?
Depending upon the type of coverage you've got, yes or no.
Yes.
So if you've got hull and machinery coverage, then yes, we would cover you. If you've just got a straight liability policy, no, we won't.
Well, that's good for our listeners to know. You do a lot of that sort of coverage?
We do.
I'll bet you do around here.
We do.
Now, some people think of insurance as a game of odds. I certainly do. If the chances that their home will burn down is less than 0.3%, they figure it's a safe bet not to pay for insurance, and they'll save lots of money. Obviously, lenders require that their clients pay for homeowners insurance, but for someone whose home is paid off, would you say they should still pay for homeowners insurance? And if so, why?
Absolutely. There's many benefits to a homeowner's policy besides fire. You've got coverage for water damage. You've got personal liability coverage. So personal liability coverage, for example, if someone comes on your property and they break a hip, or if you've got dogs and your dog bites somebody, your liability coverage is going to pay for those injuries, and you certainly don't want to lose your house over some sort of incident like that.
Very good point. That's why we do these interviews, is to make people aware of things that they may not have thought of. I'm fortunate enough to have a house that's fully paid off. However, someone walking down in my backyard stumbles on something that maybe I should have taken care of, a rock or a stairway or something like that, and sue me and take my house unless I have insurance from Homer Smith Insurance, right?
Right. And I mean, your personal liability is going to follow you wherever you're at. So if you're at the grocery store and you're pushing a cart and you accidentally run into a child and the child gets hurt in the store, your liability is going to cover you for that. So if you've got a large paid-off asset, you certainly don't want to lose it.
Really good point. That brings us back to insurance that covers home and property in the event of an earthquake and or tsunami. And for people who live around Mount Rainier, volcano insurance, if there is such a thing. A catastrophic earthquake and tsunami event on the Cascadia Fault off the Washington coast could devastate Port Townsend and much of the Puget Sound area. And it could happen tomorrow. But geologists also say it might not happen for another 400 years. All they will say is that it definitely will happen someday. So, what kind of homeowners coverage would you recommend for people living here in the area that is affected by this potential disaster?
I would certainly start off with the homeowners policy that's covering our fire, theft, water damage, and our personal liability. Now, if you're able to do it, then I'd probably start next with the earthquake coverage. Now, like I said earlier, earthquake coverage can get pretty expensive, and it's a little bit different in the way it works from a homeowner's policy. A earthquake policy runs on a percentage deductible versus a homeowner's policy that runs on a flat rate deductible.
Yeah, you're speaking a foreign language to me now. What is a percentage deductible?
So a percentage deductible is either going to be from a 10%, a 15%, 20%, or 25% deductible based on the coverage limit. So if you've got a $1 million house and you've got a 10% deductible, we're looking at $100,000 deductible before the insurance company will make a payment.
Which could be well worth it if your $1 million house is fully destroyed.
Right.
So you pay the first $100,000, but the $900,000 for the rest of the value of the home is covered.
Exactly.
I see. Okay. We were talking about acts of God, and the Cascadia event would or would not be considered an act of God, which is a combination earthquake and flood.
I would say it's probably an act of God because it's outside of human control and it's not predictable.
Therefore, does that mean it's not insured if you don't have an endorsement? The earthquake endorsement.
Right. So a standard homeowner's policy does exclude earthquake and flood. So if there's no separate policy or endorsement, there's no coverage.
Let's say you did not get the earthquake endorsement, but for some reason you did get the flood endorsement on your home, and you're here in the Pascadia events happens, there's a quake, your home thankfully didn't get damaged by the earthquake, but we had a tsunami and the bottom floor is completely underwater. Do you need an endorsement for that, or is that covered?
If you've got a flood policy, that would be covered for the lower floor, for the water damage.
Regardless of the cause of the flood, it could be caused by, let's say, the pipes in your next door neighbor's house break, or there's a flood that's not caused by a tsunami. That's covered by your flood insurance?
Let's say a pipe breaks in the house and floods downstairs, the basement. That's covered under your homeowner's policy.
Without an endorsement?
Without an endorsement.
Oh, good.
If it's outside water, there's a couple stipulations that need to be met for it to be considered a flood. So we're in a bit of a gray area whether or not that would still be covered under a flood policy. I believe it's got to be 2 acres of land has to be covered by water for it to be considered a flood.
Okay, interesting. Years ago, I was speaking with somebody with an insurance company who told me, and this may be a myth, may be true, but you would know because you're in the insurance business. They said, and this is one of the big insurance carriers, that they have people on staff hired who their full-time job is to figure out how to not pay off their claims that come to them. Their job is to look for all the fine print. This is interesting to me because you were talking about it has to have at least 2 acres of land to be flooded. Is that true? Are there people whose job it is to figure out how not to pay off?
I can't speak to that because I'm not sure.
Okay. That's not you're not with the carrier. You're just a broker.
Right. So that's not for us to decide, and we kind of stay out of that.
Okay.
Certainly, if they're trying to decline something that we feel should be paid, then we're going to go to bat for our client.
And that's good to know. And it's actually understandable that an insurance company is going to have someone on top of the fine print to make sure that we're not paying for coverage that we're not legally liable for because it wasn't covered because of some exemption, whether it's how many acres of land were flooded, et cetera. Now, I don't know if insurance brokers get special deals on their own coverage, but would you be willing to tell us what kind of coverage you personally have for your residents and why you made the choices you did? I'm curious to know if you have coverage for the Cascadia fault event for earthquake and or flood.
I do not have earthquake insurance. I do have, your standard homeowner's policy. I would say as far as the earthquake coverage goes, I've weighed the cost versus what the likelihood of a catastrophic earthquake happening is. That doesn't mean every time an earthquake happens, it's not in the back of my head thinking, do I need to get this or not? For me, it's easy to look to see what the rates are because I can just come in and easily quote it out whenever I want. As far as the business goes, we do carry an earthquake policy on our building downtown.
Oh, own that building?
We do.
Oh, okay. How long has the business been in that building, which is now, what's the address of that building?
It's 804 Water Street. We've been there since about 1978 when my grandfather and my grandma built the building.
And where else has Homer Smith Insurance been other than Squim? But I mean, in Port Townsend, it's moved a little bit here and there, right? Because it started in 1950?
Yeah, so we started in 1950 in Quilcene. I believe we did have another location in Port Townsend before we moved to the current office.
In the 70s. Now, I lived in Southern California, as I said, most of my life, and all of my homes, literally all of them, were located on or very near earthquake faults. Earthquake insurance was very expensive, but it wasn't required, so I didn't get it. We experienced a lot of quakes, but none that caused any significant damage to my homes. So I sort of dodged a bullet and saved money by not getting that coverage. One of my homes was also in what they call the floodplain, which hadn't experienced a flood in over 200 years. My lender did require me to buy flood insurance. Now, given the potential disaster threats we face here in the Northeast Olympic Peninsula, what types of coverage do you think should be required and what type should remain optional?
At this point, I probably wouldn't change anything. I haven't seen enough earthquake activity to really believe that earthquake insurance needs to be required. I probably wouldn't change the flood insurance at all. and just leave the homeowners as really the basic required policy besides the flood if you're in a floodplain based on FEMA's mapping.
Interesting. So, again, this we're doing this for the folks like me who don't read the fine print in their insurance and just get what they're told to get, basically. What is required? Say I've got a home in Port Ludlow, and it's not right on the water, and it's probably not going to be affected by a tsunami. It's just your normal place that most people would have. Well, I shouldn't say that because an awful lot of people ride on the water here. What is required for homeowners insurance? And this would, I assume, it required by the lender, right?
Right. So as long as you've got a loan, the only thing that the lender is going to require is a homeowner's policy. Once your loan is paid off and your house is free and clear, there's no state law or anything that dictates what you need to carry.
And your basic policy that the lender requires, what does that cover? And just briefly.
We're talking about a standard stick-built house. We're talking fire, theft, vandalism, wind, pipes breaking, your personal liability. Then we can usually get you personal property replacement, replacement cost on the dwelling.
What if a tree falls on your house? That happens a lot here.
Yep, that's considered wind damage, so that would be a covered loss.
Oh, okay. Not an act of God. Again, it's a tricky definition of what an act of God is.
Yeah, so the insurance homeowners policies don't define an act of God, so there's no act of God clause in the insurance policies.
And so religion isn't part of insurance policies. Okay. We're talking with Ryan Smith, Vice President of Homer Smith Insurance here in Port Townsend and Sequim. Now, we talked about how some people, myself included, think of insurance as a game of odds. Others might call it a legalized version of the protection rackets. They imagine a racketeer telling them, "Nice house you got there, buddy. Be a shame if anything happened to it." Then they get shaken down for money. Now, obviously, that's not a fair comparison, but it is a fact that insurance companies are financially successful because people pay them for a promise to cover them if something bad happens, and the odds are that nothing bad will ever happen. True?
Yeah, odds are nothing significant's ever going to happen, but we're all paying for everybody else's losses. So our premiums here are going to pay for potential wildfire losses in eastern Washington or California, or maybe we're paying for wind damage claims for hurricanes down in, you know, the southern U.S. So
that's a really good point. That leads into my next question, too, because some people don't take into account the fact that insurance companies are at risk as well. And the question is, even if the odds weigh in favor of the insurance companies, we can see a potential for their own kind of disaster. If companies are insuring people against damage caused by acts of God, whether you use that term or not, what happens when a massive catastrophe strikes, like our own potential Cascadia fault event? Have there been disasters that have bankrupted insurance companies because they couldn't afford to cover the immense amount of losses? For instance, those wildfires in California.
I'm not personally aware of any carriers that have gone bankrupt. There's potential for some small regional carriers that have suffered near bankruptcies due to large losses. Insurance companies also purchase what's called reinsurance. So they're essentially insuring themselves against these large catastrophic events. So they're not solely responsible for the whole thing.
And that takes us back to the term catastrophic. I think most people can see the logic in paying a premium to insurance companies so they will not be left destitute in the event of a disaster. But is it your sense that many people think their homes are covered in the event of a quake or tsunami when they aren't?
I get the feeling from the people I've talked to or clients I've talked to or prospects I've talked to that most of them are aware that an earthquake or tsunami or flood is not covered by their standard underlying policy, whether it be a homeowner's or business policy.
And I think you said when you are consulting with clients who are writing up a policy, you do go over that with them and say,
right. So yeah, we'll certainly discuss the option of an earthquake or a flood type policy.
Which makes sense because it is potentially something that could happen up here.
It is, and it can be a devastating type loss.
Absolutely. Now, a little personal question. Was it always a given that you would follow your family into the insurance business, or did you explore other career possibilities?
I definitely explored other possibilities, and I think I had the same dreams as most little boys would have of being a firefighter, or police officer, or airplane pilot, or construction. Right after high school, I did attend a trade school for heavy equipment operating with the intent to go down to Louisiana right after Katrina had happened to help with a rebuild. I didn't get to that point where I felt comfortable packing everything up and leaving, so I did end up back here in Port Townsend and at the agency. So it's been going on 14 years now that I've been a licensed agent, and can't complain. It's been a good path.
Born and raised here?
Born and raised in Port Townsend.
Port Townsend High?
Port Townsend High School.
Activities, extracurricular activities involved in the school? At all?
Not a lot. I did play basketball in middle school and high school, but that was about it.
Interesting. What made you decide that doing heavy equipment disaster recovery after a major hurricane would be something you'd really like doing?
For me, it was a way to help out, just something that I thought would be enjoyable to do as a career.
So are you now Homer Smith Insurance for life, or is there a chance you might go in a different direction at some point?
No, I'm definitely at the office for life now. So
okay. Now, for anyone who thinks that the insurance world is something filled with murky waters and small print, and you can count me among those, what advice would you offer to make them feel more comfortable in making their own decisions about their insurance needs?
I would say, just talk to either your agent or get multiple opinions from different agents to see, what their advice is. No one agent is the same. Everybody may think of different scenarios or different coverages that maybe you need. We're all human, so my advice is certainly probably different than someone next door.
Is there anything I did not ask you about that you'd like to add?
There's probably one other type of policy that may benefit a small percentage of people, say, on the Olympic Peninsula, and that'd be your people that are living on the bluff of Washington Street. There is a risk for landslide, and that is something else that is excluded from your homeowner's policy. So if there's a strong rain event and your cliff gives away and your house slides down, that is something that's not covered, but there is a policy, the difference in conditions policy, which is going to include the earthquake, flood, and then landslide.
Mm. So that's an add-on. Is that called an endorsement? Is that what they call it?
It's a separate policy.
Separate policy. Good to know for all of you perched on or near the edge of a cliff anywhere here in the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. With Ryan Smith discussing how to protect your home and property in the event of a widespread natural disaster, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. with a repeat Saturday at noon, exclusively here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.